As we near the end of our Lenten season, we enter this last week with Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter on the horizon. One thing that is so powerful of this Holy Week is this practice of remembering. It's refocusing to remember because we are so often forgetful that our God, our holy God, came, died, and resurrected on our behalf. And when we remember what he has done, it changes because we have a hope that is tangible and inevitable. Though our circumstances may not change, the truth of what he has done transforms our present realities. So this week, we hear from Pastor Isaac, who shares a beautiful and poignant reminder of seasons. You've probably seen Pastor Isaac on stage preaching or running around opening doors at church. On top of pastoring, he's our executive pastor, so he helps with all the logistics that keep the church moving and in sync and make sure that everything fits into our culture and our values. With that said, let's hear from Pastor Isaac.
The writer of Ecclesiastes says this: "There is an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth, a right time for birth and another for death, a right time to plant and another to reap, a right time to kill and another to heal, a right time to destroy and another to construct, a right time to cry and another to laugh, a right time to lament and another to cheer, a right time to make love and another to abstain, a right time to embrace and another to part, a right time to search and another to count your losses, a right time to hold on and another to let go, a right time to rip out and another to mend, a right time to shut up and another to speak up, a right time to love and another to hate, a right time to wage war and another to make peace." Last year, in the midst of the pandemic, my wife and I began to notice that my son was exhibiting some abnormal delays in his development. He'd have trouble walking straight or would keep falling. He had a difficult time speaking beyond one word. At parks or playgrounds, while my daughter Hope was playing and socializing with other children, he was sitting by himself in the sand and watching the grains of sand fall through his fingers. At first, I wanted to chalk it up to my own childhood delays. I hadn't spoken until age 3, but our lingering concerns led us to take him to a developmental specialist, where they diagnosed him as being on the autism spectrum. Within the span of a week, our carefully scheduled, somewhat predictable life got flipped upside down. We were taking him to evaluations and therapists and had meetings with the school district and the hospital with this deep sense of urgency. I drove hundreds of miles ferrying him from Orange County to Los Angeles and back. And it's in the midst of the season, I began to recognize that there was a deep sense of exhaustion that began to root itself into my heart. The things that used to bring me joy now made me feel tired. I found myself distracting myself with endless news articles, TV shows, movies, games. And in this season, I felt very, very distant from God. In the past, I loved the stories and testimonies that came from my walk with God, the ways he broke through for us, the ways he changed the situation for us, the ways he provided for us. But in this season, I couldn't help but feel distant, even cynical. Haven't I served you faithfully, God? The diagnosis in the middle of the pandemic felt almost cruel. And it wasn't until later that I realized I was grieving. We often approach grief as if it's linear. But the truth is, grief isn't linear or even cyclical. Like the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time or a season for everything. And sometimes processing our grief takes many seasons. Some days it feels like fall and all signs of life are dropping to the ground. Other days you're just as barren as a field in winter snow. But the beauty of journeying in God's story is that we can hope, we can hold on to, we can trust in the promise of spring, when new life will burst out of the ground when we least expect it. In these seasons of grief, I found myself suddenly in a brand new environment. I had no plan. I had no strategy. All I had was the promise of God's nearness. Some days I could feel my dreams crunching under my feet like dried leaves. Other days, at the end of a long day, when I was emotionally and physically drained, I felt like my soul was covered in frost. But little by little, I started to get used to the rhythms. I began to accept the situation as it was, rather than what it could have been. Some days I found actually little pockets of joy, as if the sun was starting to peek through the clouds. In this past season of Lent, we've been talking about how to return back to God as our first love. And while there are many good disciplines and practices we can participate in, there are some seasons of our life where it's simply just enough to recognize that God is there, even when it doesn't feel like it. Even if the situation hasn't changed, or we don't see evidence of God's goodness. Sometimes returning to God just looks like standing still long enough to recognize our own grief. And sometimes it means standing still long enough for spring to come. There's a quote from Rainer Maria Rilke that I stumbled across recently that I thought was truly appropriate for the season of Lent. He writes this: "Have patience with everything unresolved in your heart. Try to love the questions themselves. Do not seek the answers now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions." Returning to God is not about having all the answers, and it's not about knowing why certain things happen. One of the ways we return to God is simply by accepting and acknowledging that there are questions, and that God is with us, even if it doesn't feel like it. That one of the many ways we can return to Him is simply to stand still and say, "I know you're here." Will you do that with me? For the next few minutes, without manufacturing the words or saying any prayers, let's just acknowledge to God, "I know you're here." I invite you to end this time with this prayer. Holy God, I wait here patiently, expectantly, waiting for spring to arrive through you.